Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Horsham. This message is by Clive Urquhart.
Hello, hello, hello. Great. The Rob Parsons evening, that'd be a great opportunity to invite friends and family that don't yet know Jesus. Because of his story, his testimony, and all the things that he speaks into. And that is open to all the churches in the area, so there are probably going to be quite a lot of people here that evening. So if you're thinking of coming, just encourage you to grab your tickets for that particular evening. Oh, should we just stand to our feet for a minute? Just close your eyes. Just picture the throne room of heaven. God is, he's seated on his throne in his majesty, in his splendor, in magnificent light. The whole host of heaven worshiping him, exalting him. Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lord God Almighty. They're declaring holy, holy, holy. When we worship, we join in with what is happening around the throne. When John in Revelation heard this voice, come up here, because I want to show you what must take place. When we worship, it's like God says, come up here. The Holy Spirit is the best one at worshiping and leading us in worship. And when we worship, the Holy Spirit says, come up here. I want to show you who the Father is. Come up here. I want to reveal who the Father is. So that we join in with the whole host of heaven. So I just want to encourage you, just lift your hands for a moment. Just lift your head like you're looking up. Just imagine the whole host of heaven. Just thank him right now that you are a throne room person. Yes. Thank him that you're a throne room person. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you lead me and guide me as a throne room child of God. That I'm not left in the outer courts of the temple, just looking on. I'm not even left in the inner court. But I come right through into the Holy of Holies because the veil has been torn from top to bottom, not from bottom to top, but from top to bottom, because the throne was torn open when Jesus hung on the cross. The veil was taken away. The way was made open. And when we know Jesus, we step through right into the Holy of Holies. That's who you are. You're a throne room child of God. The Bible says that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. No height, nor depth, no principality or power. Nothing in heaven on earth can separate you from his love. That's not just him loving you. It's being in that relationship of love, being a throne room child of God. This is where you belong. This is who you are. This is the person that he has made you. The old has gone. The new has come. You're no longer the creation that you were. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You've been made acceptable. You are loved by the beloved or by the lover of your soul. You are the beloved. We are loved by him. This is our, we belong in the throne room. This is our position in Christ. This is the reality of what it means to know Jesus. When we worship, we start in this place because we are throne room people. The writer to the Hebrews says we can approach the throne of grace with confidence, with boldness, because we've been sprinkled with the blood of Jesus. So when the Father looks at you and I, He looks at us as blood-washed people. He looks at us as a child of His that belongs to Him. And He says, I'm on my throne, seated in glory and majesty. You are welcome. You are welcome. You are welcome. And what does He mean by that? That we don't have to worship back here, far off from Him, kind of, you know, but He's opened the way. And if this was the throne room, that we boldly come right before Him. Father, Father. That's what Jesus said first. Our Father. We worship Him as Father. Because it's relationship with the Heavenly Father, the most awesome Father we could ever know, who loves us, never forsakes us, never leaves us. He'll never give up on us because He's a covenant Father. He loves because He is love. Father. Just say that name to Him. Father. Just wherever you are around the room, I encourage you, just lift your hands. I know you might be, we've been lifting our hands for a while now. Just lift your hands. Lift your hands towards Him. Father. Thank You for Your unfailing love. Thank You for Your never-ending love. Just declare that and speak that out this morning. Thank You for Your unfailing, everlasting love. Thank You, Jesus, that You've made the way to the Father. Thank You, Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Hallowed, holy, honored, revered is Your name. We praise You. We thank You. Then it says, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So in the context of that relationship of awe and wonder, He says, you're a kingdom family. You're a kingdom child. And in that kingdom, I want to work out my kingdom purposes through a people that I love and is my family. And I want to reveal my kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. That's why it's like, come up here. I want to show you what must take place. When we worship Him, He reveals who He is. We see something of Him. We see a heavenly perspective, not just an earthly one. We see an eternal perspective, not just a temporal one. We see Him in the light of all His glory in eternity. And that helps us to have a different perspective on who He is, on who we are, and then on life itself and what is going on in the world. Because He wants to be us to be more heavenly minded than just earthly focused. Because when you're heavenly minded, you're going to be more effective on earth. Some people say, oh, he's too heavenly minded for his own good. No, if you're heavenly minded, you'll understand then how things need to be outworked on earth from a heavenly perspective. We begin to see things from an eternal point. You see people in a different way. You don't just see people with a temporal mindset. You see them with the light of eternity. Because you see with His heart, His mind, and then we look at people with His heart, with His love in a completely different way. And that's when, if from this point, we begin to see God working in and through, beginning to release Him, who He is, through our lives. We thank You, Father, that You are here right now. We thank You, want to reveal more of who You are, so that we live more in who You are in our lives. We thank You and we exalt You. We praise Your name. Everybody said, amen, amen. Just sit down, but just sit in this. Don't just switch off from and then go into just listening mode. Just stay in this place of connection, if you like, or whatever, His presence. We've been just going through the names of God, or some of the names of God, the last few weeks. And the first one was Yahweh. I am. What does that mean? I am. That means He is. He's all sufficient. He is complete. He lacks nothing. You know, when He says, I am, He's sitting there in all His glory and His majesty. He's not fazed by anything or anybody. And He's like, I am. And He's revealing who He is as Yahweh, I am, into our lives so that we live in that place of rest. When you know Him as I am, there's a rest and a peace that sits in your life, because the I am is, He's got everything in hand. He's all sufficient. He lacks nothing. He's complete. Oh, we thank You, Jesus. And in that I am, we then looked at He's the banner. He's our victory. What does that mean? Banner, victory. You know, on a front line in an army in the good old days, they would have the banner that would show the front line, the point of breakthrough. And everybody in the army would know that's the point that we're aiming at. That's, we're all getting in behind the banner. This is who we are. We're going to go for victory. There's an opportunity for breakthrough and release. And so the standard bearer would hold up that banner in front of the whole army. And even the enemy would see that banner. And the enemy would see this is going to be the point of breakthrough, that if we don't defend it, they're going to break through and they're going to have a victory over us. But we know that because Jesus is our banner, He is our victory. And when we exalt Him over our lives, over our circumstances, over the nation, over whatever's going on, when we exalt Him, He is the one who gives us the victory. And we're going to come to breakthrough today and what that looks like. And then we heard about the Good Shepherd. He is the Good Shepherd. What does that mean? He leads, He guides, He protects. When we know Him as the Good Shepherd, again, it's a place of rest. We're not frantically trying to solve life's problems by ourselves. We're not trying to make it happen. We're not trying to be. He says, I'm your Good Shepherd. And when the sheep, as we heard last week, know that's the Good Shepherd, they live in a place of rest and peace. And they're eating and they're led into good pasture. And He's looking out for them, leading, protecting them. He keeps them from ditches. He keeps them from trouble. He keeps the enemies away that want to take the sheep. When we know the Good Shepherd, again, we live in that place of rest. There's a world that is in turbo mode at the moment. Everything's rising in the world in all kinds of different ways. And He's called us in the midst of all of that to know Him as Yahweh, I am. That He is our banner and victory as we exalt Him and lift Him up. He is our Good Shepherd. We don't have to be caught up with the frustrations of the day, the angst and the anger and everything going on out there, because we're part of another kingdom. And our life is found in that kingdom, in relationship with Him. And what we're then to do is to bring the life of that kingdom in to the troubles of the world, in to the angst of the world, in to the frustration of the world, in to all the division and anger in the world. We're not called to take sides in the world and who's right and who's wrong. We're here to be part of this kingdom that breaks through and reveals who God is in to the needs of life and into the troubles of the world. That's who God's called His people to be. You and I do that individually with those around us, but we do it collectively as the church, as the body of Christ together, to bring His kingdom, His life into people's lives. Amen. So we're going to be looking at breakthrough today, on breakout, because they're connected. When you break through, there's a breakout. What is breakthrough? Breakthrough is where there's a military advance that goes through and beyond the enemy's front line, point of resistance and defense, and breaks through and takes territory and takes ground. That's breaking through into something new. Breaking through is a significant or sudden advance, development or achievement in science or in an invention or in medicine or even in diplomacy. We see there's some kind of breakthrough happening in the Middle East, with all the peace talks that are going on at the moment. I think if we're going to be really honest, Let's call it a ceasefire. Because true peace, according to the Bible, is where the issues that are on the inside of people that cause conflict and division, they have to be dealt with so there can be true peace. And true peace is only found in Jesus dealing with hate and generations of whatever to bring true peace. So we want to continue praying. Yes, there's a ceasefire that goes on, that's going on at this moment. There's the exchanging of, or should be in the next few days, of hostages and prisoners. And whether we agree with all of that or not, or what's going on, isn't really the issue. Because there are things taking place that we might agree with or not agree with, or how things are being done or not done. But it's really a ceasefire. You can't deal with hatred by signing a peace deal on a piece of paper. And so we want to continue praying. So there is a sort of breakthrough happening compared to how things were, to how things could be for a period of time. But unless the issues of the heart are really dealt with, things are only going to resurface again. And it might look different, I don't know. But we want to continue praying that this ceasefire holds and that something good can take place for a while. But this is a spiritual war, not a natural thing. Yes, it's being outworked in the natural. So you can only deal with spiritual things in spiritual ways. So, Father, we do pray for what's going on in the Middle East and everything happening. Father, there are so many agendas going on behind the scenes that are not in line with your heart and your agenda. There are a lot of man's agendas in different ways. A lot of pressure, a lot of blackmailing, a lot of pushing people into corners to get the job done, to get a deal made, to get people to sign something. Father, we thank you that this does mean that there'll be lives that won't be lost. It will mean things change. But Father, we know that only true and lasting peace is found in the salvation of knowing Jesus, where a heart is transformed, a life is turned around, and then true peace and love for one another can be then worked out. So we do speak peace over that nation and the Middle East, but it's a peace of salvation. Not just a cease from angst and war, but a peace that is salvation in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. The word breakout means where something that has been contained or restricted breaks out of its confinement. It's like a dam breaking open. It's like riverbanks in a flood. They burst and there's a flood. There's something that cannot be contained. And we're going to jump into a story in 2 Samuel chapter 5. If you've got your Bible, if you've got a Bible here, I'd encourage you to open it to 2 Samuel chapter 5. You might have a Bible on your phone. I really encourage you to get hold of one of these. Amen. Does anybody know what this is? Anybody in the room? Does everyone know? Everybody knows what a phone is, right? Everybody knows that because it's glued to people's hands these days. But does anybody know what that is? Yes. Well, what's this called?
Bible.
The Bible. Does anybody have a Bible?
Yes.
Okay, I'd encourage you, bring your Bible on a Sunday, okay? We might put scriptures on a screen, we might not. But bring your Bible. It's good to thumb through this thing, to see where things are written, to get this thing kind of dirty with your fingerprints, to get in there so it's not just an electronic transaction, you know, with God, you know, on a phone or an iPad. But there's something about opening the pages of the Bible, because these things have been written to reveal who He is, to reveal who we are, to see what God's purposes are, and just to get hold of this and get a heart for God and His Word. Amen. Anyway, so to get hold of a Bible if you don't have one, or we can give you one if you don't haven't got one. So open it to 2 Samuel chapter 5. We're going to jump into a story here and just get some things about God being the God of breakthrough. But then what does it mean for you and I to be people of breakthrough and for us to be a people of breakthrough? We're all individuals in this room, but we're all part of a body. We all have our personal lives and responsibilities as individuals and in our marriages, if you're married or if you've got kids in your family. There are our personal lives and responsibilities. But we're also part of a body which has a purpose. This body is a family of people sharing life together. But in that context, we hear from the prayer that Jesus prays, our Father. It's not just my Father. It's our Father. Remember, in that culture, that Jewish culture back then, when Jesus said our, because they lived in community in a much better way than Western people live out community. And they understood our Father in a different way than we do. So it's our Father. Yes, he's my Father, but I'm brought into a body, the body of Christ. He is the head. We are the body, and we are the body of Christ on earth that knows the Father and exalts the Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. So we're a family of believers living with a purpose to know and serve the Father and to serve the King. So let's jump into this story here, because yes, we want to receive all that God wants to do in our own personal lives and the goodness and the benefit and how we live that and work that. But we also know that whatever God does us individually affects who we are as a body. So none of us live as islands. We don't live isolated from one another. We are individuals, but we're in a body. Your walk with God and my walk with God affects who we are as a people. Your relationships with others and my relationship with others, they affect how we are as a body. Your witness and my witness affects how we are as a body. And this all contributes to God breaking through and God breaking out. So let's jump into 2 Samuel 5. This is a scenario here where the Philistines are coming to attack not just David the king, but the Israelites. The Philistines want to take them out. And these guys were enemies of Israel for a long time. And let's have a look at this in verse 17. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, they went up in full force to search for him. But David heard about it and went down to the stronghold. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed. So let's make this personal for a moment. Let's talk about the Philistines as the enemy, okay, the devil. When the enemy heard that you had given your life to Jesus, and suddenly the anointed one, the Christ, had come to live in you, immediately the enemy's like, right, I'm now going to set myself to undermine, to lie, to try and take them out so they do not believe, they do not live in the good of what's happened, they don't take hold of their faith, they don't. And he set himself. He heard Rob, Jen, Rosie, Marnus, Sandra, Eric. He heard one day they've given their life to Jesus. Suddenly they have the anointed one in them. What does he do? It says they, the Philistines, went up in full force to search for him. Why? Because they wanted to take him out. Right. You know, when we exalt the Lord together and we pursue God together, we say, God, we want to walk in obedience to all you're saying. We want to do whatever it is you're saying for us to do. You know, the enemy, like the Philistines, he hears about the people of God wanting to flow in the anointing of God. And he says, come on, we want to come up and we want to come against them in full force to hinder them. We want to distract them. We want to get them so focused around their own lives and issues and troubles that they look like that instead of looking at who God is and what he wants to do. They went up in full force to search for him. But David heard about it and went down to the stronghold. It's interesting how in this story, David hears that someone or something or a body of people are going to come against him. What's the first thing he does? He goes to the stronghold. He doesn't go and talk to all his mates. So what do you think about this? What do you think about that? Oh, and I don't like this. I don't like that. This upsets me. This annoys me. They're coming. The first thing he does, it says he went down to the stronghold. What was the stronghold? It was the place where he prayed, the place where he inquired of the Lord. It was the place of safety and security where he was going to put everything else on hold, go into that stronghold, and then he would be able to say, God, I'm here. I've got stuff coming against me. People want to take me out, want to take us out as the Israelites. He inquires of the Lord. He's being like, you know, we heard a few weeks ago in our joint service from Pastor Victor about being watchmen and gatekeepers. And on that watchman, there's a watchtower where you see. So you see prophetically, what's God showing us? What is he saying? You stand on the walls, you pray. And so what you see, the prophetic and the prayer go together. So God reveals, he shows, he speaks. So he informs us then how to pray with understanding in the situation, how to be watchmen. And there's a responsibility. We're watchmen over our own lives. But also we're watchmen together as a people. And then it talks about gatekeepers, or he did, and that we're gatekeepers over our lives. We watch what we allow in and out of our lives. We watch over our homes and families. And so what is he being? In this moment, he's being a watchman and he's being a gatekeeper. So he goes into the stronghold. There's opposition. There's trouble coming. There's stuff that wants to take them out. So he goes into the stronghold. It says the Philistines had come and they spread out in the valley of Rephaim. How many of you know the enemy loves to make himself look bigger and more imposing than he really is? Anybody seen that? You know, he doesn't just come and whisper. He wants to magnify everything so that when you look at it, you go, oh no, I'm in trouble. I've had it. What's going to happen? And the enemy loves to spread himself out in the valley where he wants to take you on. And so what David doesn't go and look. He just said he heard that they were coming. He didn't stop and have a look and say, wow, look at this, look at this, look at this, and allow fear to overtake him. The first thing he did, he heard there was trouble coming, so I'm going to go and inquire of the Lord, because that's the place where I'm going to hear something from God that is greater than what I'm going to see in the natural and what I'm going to take on in the natural. Because he understood God is the God who gives me victory. So he inquires of the Lord, and what does he say? Shall I go and attack the Philistines? Will you hand them over to me? So he knows he's got an army. He knows he's won some victories. He's good on the battlefield. But he doesn't just repeat what he's done before. He doesn't just go by experience. What he does, he goes and inquires of the Lord. And he says to the Lord, he said, Lord, shall I go? Will you hand them over to me? And the Lord answered him, go, for I will surely hand the Philistines over to you. So David went to Baal Perazim. And there he defeated them. Now the word Perazim means the Lord who breaks out. So he goes to the place where there's going to be a breakout of God. So what was David doing? He went to the stronghold and positioned himself. So we're living in days where there's so much going on in the world. And you got options as to how you position yourself, because how you position yourself will determine how you think. How you position yourself will determine how you perceive and discern. How you position yourself will determine how you then pray and respond. How you position yourself will determine everything in your life. If you position yourself in front of Sky TV, Sky News and BBC News, you're going to position yourself for fear and failure and division and upset and anger. But if you position yourself before the Lord and before this thing here, what does God say? What does his word say? We position ourselves. First thing that's going to happen is what we experienced earlier, the peace of God. Him. Shalom. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. That's not the fight that we have. So he positions himself. And one of the words that we've had as well as positioning ourselves is shift gear. What does that mean in reality? That means the way you've been living your Christian life is not going to cut it in the days that we're in and coming into.
That's right.
God doesn't say shift for without a reason. He doesn't say position yourself without a reason. So what David did when he heard the opposition, when he heard things weren't going well or was not could not go well, he positioned himself. He shifted from where he was to a place where he's like, God, I'm not looking at all of that lot. I'm not going to engage in the natural with all of that lot. Firstly, I'm going to engage with you. I'm going to engage with heaven. I'm going to engage with who you are. I'm going to position myself and shift out of a place where I could talk to all my commanders and my army and look at all of our weapons and all that we could do. I could and look at the enemy and what he might do. No, I'm going to shift into this place to hear from you. You see, when God speaks and gives you a promise, there's always a strategy that goes with that promise. We were at a place in Oslo a few weeks ago, Jane and I, and a European prayer thing, and Cindy Jacobs said that. It was a throwaway. It wasn't a throwaway comment. It was one thing. She was talking about something else. But she just said in it, when God gives you a promise, he gives you a strategy. And then she carried on. And I was like, oh, there's gold in there. There's gold in them, their words, you know, and more than just carrying on doing what she was saying. And he understood this. When God speaks, there'll be a strategy for victory. So what did he do? He goes down to Baal Perazim, to that place of breakthrough. Now, who is the breakthrough?
Jesus.
God is the breakthrough.
Yes.
But when we then agree with him, we inquire of him, we hear from him, and we respond in relation to what he says, we then see him be the breakthrough in the situation that he's speaking about. So he has this breakthrough. He has God moving. There's a breakthrough. And then it says here in verse 20, so David went to Baal Perazim and there he defeated them. He said, as the waters break out, the Lord has broken out against my enemies before me. So that place was called Baal Perazim, the Lord who breaks out. The Philistines abandoned their idols there and David and his men carried them off. Once more, the Philistines came up. How many know the enemy doesn't give up?
Yep.
All right. So once more, the Philistines came up and spread themselves out in the Valley of Rephaim. So he had a victory over them in the Valley of Rephaim, okay? Where did they come? They spread themselves out in exactly the same place. The enemy doesn't, he just comes at you with the same thing from a different angle, but the same. He just lines up because he thinks, right, yes, they got the victory over me last time because they actually believed, but now I'm going to come back again and see if I can undermine them again. David, what did he do? Interesting. Same opposition, same place. David didn't just say, well, it went well yesterday or a few weeks ago, whenever it was they attacked us, so we'll just do the same thing again. No, what he did, he inquired of the Lord. And this time the Lord says, do not go straight up, but circle around them and attack them in front of the balsam trees. As soon as you hear the sound of the march and the tops of the balsam trees, move quickly. Because that will mean the Lord has gone out in front of you to strike the Philistine army. So David did as the Lord commanded. He struck down the Philistines all the way from Gibeon to Gezer. Now, interesting, the second victory was far greater than the first one. Sometimes we can look for a victory in the moment, but God wants to give you a lasting victory where the enemy is routed in your life in different areas, in different ways. But it's interesting how he inquired of the Lord. He didn't just go on experience or what God did the last time. See, what was the position of David's heart? He had a humble heart. He had a submitted heart, a surrendered heart. And in that place of surrender and humility and inquiring of the Lord, he could then live in obedience to whatever God said. And those two things go together, two sides of a coin, that humility, that surrender to the Lord, but then also the obedience to work out what God has, to walk in then what God has said, to see God break out in a situation and see the victory and the breakthrough in those circumstances. Micah 2:13 says this, the one, this is God, the one who breaks open. Yeah. The word breaks open there is paras or parats, which means to break open the way that will go up before them. They will then break through the gate and go out. Their king will pass through before them, the Lord at their head. So he is the breakthrough, but he's called you and I to be individually people of breakthrough. So God wants to grow beyond just needing God for breakthroughs in a moment because something's up. Something's been challenging. Oh, Lord, I need a breakthrough. I need a victory. I need a release here. God's intention is us to live beyond just needing God in the moment for a situation. God wants us to be living as people of breakthrough and as a people of breakthrough. How do we live in that way? It goes beyond just needing to go to the stronghold in the moment of need. It means cultivating this relationship. Let me just read this in Romans. I love this verse. We used it early when we were praying. If anybody wants to come and join us praying at 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning, you are more than welcome. Praying for us, praying for the body. Listen to this. Verse 15, verse 5. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and one voice, or one heart and mouth, or one heart and voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you love that? You see, we can go to God in need, but our relationship with God is much greater than a need-based relationship with Him. So our relationship with Him is one walking with Him, cultivating victory, cultivating breakthrough, living in who He is as the Good Shepherd, living in as the I Am, living in that place of rest and peace. Because it's not us trying to get a breakthrough, whether it's in a moment of need or whether it's connected with the purposes of God. All of it is in a place of rest. So we're not striving to try and get something. We're living in that place of rest, but there's actions and activity relating to living in rest that we do in response to what God is doing. So David, he heard what God said, but then he had to go and do whatever God said. That's where we see the breakthrough. That's where we see the breakout. Something happens in the spirit to establish that in the spirit, the victory, the breakthrough. But then we need to go and do whatever God is saying to do to see the breakout of God and the release of God. How many know that people don't get saved unless somebody preaches the gospel to them? I know in the Middle East and in some unreached people groups, God is just revealing who He is into people's lives. But most of the time, people need to hear the gospel. And in one sense, we don't have to go into the stronghold to know that we share the gospel and preach the gospel. It's just we've already been commanded to do that. What we do here in the stronghold is pray for the breakthrough and the release for people to break out of sin and addictions and whatever the enemy's got them in. They're broken out of that into healing, forgiveness, freedom, liberty, life. Amen. That's why we pray. So we're praying, inquiring of the Lord. Father, how do you want me to pray for my friend? How do you want me to pray for my family? How do I pray for the nation? How do I pray for what's going on in Israel and the Middle East? How do I pray for things going on around the world? This is where you get God's heart, God's wisdom and His discernment. And we pray the victory. And then when we go and do whatever He says, He then gives us that we see that victory outwork. We see that breakthrough and release. But we need to position ourselves to see something different happen there. So many breakthroughs through the Bible. Crossing the Red Sea. Held His staff up. That was a breakthrough moment. He did what God said. There was release. Walls of Jericho. Wow, how do they take on walled cities? They can't in the natural, but yet God gave them a plan. They did what He said. Boom, breakthrough and a breaking out of God. David and Goliath. There's no way this little kid could beat this big fella, but yet something rose up in him and he went you know, how dare you? Who do you think you are? You know, defying, you know, the God of heaven and earth, you know, coming against the armies of the living God and all of that. And there was a breakthrough there in that moment. Then the whole nation surged forward and defeated the Philistines. Daniel's vision for the nation, when he started to pray, it says 21 days it took the angel to come before he said, the moment you set yourself to pray, the answer was given, but it took me 21 days to defeat the principality of Persia or whatever was going on in the spirit there. But the release was happened there. And then he saw the transformation when the angel came and gave him the answer. New Testament, Day of Pentecost, that was a moment of outpouring, a breakout of release. It was a breakthrough moment. Saul's conversion on the road to Damascus, it was a breakthrough, breakout moment. Jesus and his healing miracles, loads of them, thousands of them across those 3 years. They were breakout moments. They were breakthrough moments for people. Jesus speaking to the Samaritan woman at the well, that was a breakthrough moment. Because what it led to was a whole town getting saved. Wow. All he did was speak to somebody at a well, but it opened up a whole town to the gospel. Breakthrough moment. Peter's release from prison was impossible. The people were praying, and then he was knocking on the door. They didn't even believe what they were praying. But, you know, and they were like, wow, it's you. How did you get out? We've been praying for your release. That's a weird one, isn't it? We're praying for your release, and when they go, we can't be Peter. He's in prison, but we've just been praying that he gets. Anyway, that's a breakthrough moment. Paul and Silas, in prison, chained. What do? They worship God. Boom, earthquake. They get released. Breakthrough moment. All of these people, and a lot of these situations, well, maybe not Paul's conversion, but people position themselves. Paul and Silas, they position themselves. Jesus, in response to what he saw the Father doing, he positioned himself for that miracle, for that healing. And God is speaking to his church. He's speaking to us at this time. You can't just carry on the way you've been going. There's a shift taking place. Position yourself. Let's stand together, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. One of the ways he's saying to position ourselves is literally to stand before him and begin to exalt him, magnify him, worship him. That's a starting point, to begin to submit your heart, because we could say, yeah, but I don't like doing that. I don't like raising my hands. That's not my thing. Maybe that's a shift for you. Maybe that's part of the shifting gear, that you need to reposition yourself. Literally, it's like repositioning yourself, because we're more focused on self than we are him. Sometimes lifting our hands is like, Father, Father, I submit, I surrender to you. I exalt you. I lift my hands to you. I honor you, I glorify you. For some, that's a starting place to begin to align for breakthrough and for release. Sometimes we're so caught up in, God, I need you to do this. I need this change. There's this going on with my child, or this going on in my life, or with my neighbors, or there's this going on at work. There's this, that, and the other. And we're like, we get caught up so much in that. And sometimes the Lord says, position yourself. Come to the stronghold. And just begin to worship me. Begin to honor me. Just begin to exalt me. Be caught up with me, and not just the moment that you're in. Be caught up with me. Humble your heart and yourself afresh. Don't just look for an answer, but come to me. Just while you're standing before the Lord right now, Jane and I met a guy a couple of weeks ago. Amazing, wonderful believer, amazing heart for God. He lives in an unreached nation, and he works in unreached nations and an unreached or people groups. And what he defines as an unreached people group is where there's not one believer. There's 7,200 people groups that have never heard the gospel. 4.2 billion people in the world have never heard the gospel in those 7,200 people groups. You might think, oh, I don't know. The research these guys have done is phenomenal on these unreached nations and tribes and how you get into them, how you reach them. But And God spoke to them and said, I want you to go to the top of the world. And he's like, the top of the world, that's the Himalayas. That's how, what people call the top of the world. There were 21 tribes or people groups in the top of the world that had never, ever been reached with the gospel at all. And the Lord, one of the things that God's taught them is before you try and do anything, you go into those places, not necessarily into the villages, but you go near to where they are and you just worship. And so they take worship teams in and they just begin to worship. Why? Because it's like he said, there's all kinds of demonic influences that have been operating in these places. He said some of these people, the contact they have with the demonic, they can literally bring things into being in front of you because of their connection and the authority, if you like, that they operate in the demonic. And he said, you can't just walk in there and start preaching the gospel because they just kill you. They take your head off. And he said, so we go in there and God said, I want you to go and just worship me. Worship me. You're not taking on principalities and powers. You worship me. If you want to see breakthrough, because I am the breakthrough, you worship me. And when they first started going, they worship for months and months and months and months. God just kept saying, just worship, just worship, just worship, just worship. And he said, the Lord said, as you worship, the spiritual atmosphere is going to shift over the Himalayas. The whole spiritual climate is going to shift as you worship me. And then after, I can't remember how many months, it was many, many months. It wasn't just 2 or 3 months. It was like most of a year. They just worshiped. Every day they sent worship teams. They just went as worshippers and they worshiped. And then the Lord said, whatever it was, the first thing with this first village to go and do. And now over the last few years, they've reached 20 of those villages. They've got born again believers set free from all the demonic stuff that goes on. People healed, people delivered. They some of these places, children would die at 8, 9 years old because of all sorts of things. And they've dealt with all of those demonic things where just the kids don't last more than 7 or 8 years. Some of that's natural. Some of that is the demonic activity. And he's like, we go, we worship. We worship. We worship. And some of us have stuff going on in our lives and it's like, Father, I need a breakthrough. I need a breakout in my life. I need a breakout in this situation. And our starting point is to go this way. Yes. Father, I want to be consumed with you. So I want to encourage you guys, just lift your hands for a minute. We've got a few minutes. Just lift your hands before him. Don't talk about the situation, the scenario, the challenge, the issue, the difficulty for a moment. Over the last few weeks, some of us have been here. I know Jane and a few others have been here every night from about 9, 9:30. And I've been here, most of them, literally just worshipping, meeting with him. That's tonight again at 9-ish, something like that. Tomorrow again, 9-ish, 9:30. Worshipping, meeting with him, we're exalting him over the nation, over Israel, over everything that's going on. Worshipping him, exalting him, magnifying him, positioning ourselves. God is speaking, then we're praying certain things, we're declaring certain things. There's a work of the Spirit that is needed, that is required. It's not striving, it's just positioning ourselves. And in our lives personally, there's a work of the Spirit. And I want to encourage you to worship. David made a time, had a place, and he went there on purpose. I know it's easy to say, well, I'm busy, I've got a lot going on. Make time, because that will change the a lot that is going on if you make time. If we're so busy that we can't make time and we can't position ourselves to say, Father, I just need to exalt you over everything. I need to give it all, but I need to exalt you over everything going on because my life feels like a blur. It feels so much pressure and tension. Well, if there's no space, if there's no stronghold time, life becomes too much. And the world and what's going on will become too much. So let's just lift our voices for a few moments and just declare who he is. to speak out his name, declare he is mighty, he is wonderful. Just exalt him, magnify him for a few moments. Just lift your hands. I want you to just lift your hands. And by lifting your hands, you're saying, Father, I humble my heart. I humble everything of who I am, afresh to you. So I'm lifting my hands to surrender afresh to you. And I exalt your name. I lift your name. I magnify your name. Be glorified, be magnified, Jesus. I exalt you over every issue, every problem, every challenge, every distraction. I exalt you, Jesus, over everything that I've got to do in life, over time pressures, over deadlines, over everything that needs to happen. I exalt you over a challenge there is in one of my children's lives or whatever it might be. I exalt you over something at work right now. I exalt you over an issue with somebody in my street or with my neighbor. I exalt you over a decision that I've made that I realize is not the right one and it's caused some consequences that are not so good. I exalt you over those firstly. I exalt you, Father, and I thank you that as I exalt you, you are my breakthrough. You are the one who breaks out. You are the one who brings change and transformation and deliverance. But Father, I thank you as I exalt you and lift you like David did. He went to the stronghold and inquired of you. I thank you in this place of exaltation, Father, I thank you that you speak. I thank you, I hear your voice. I thank you, you give me wisdom. I thank you, you give me strategies, steps to outwork it. It might not be what I expect because your kingdom strategies are not of this world. They are of a different kingdom, of a different world, as it were. And I thank you that things that you say might not make sense in the natural, but in terms of the kingdom, they make full sense because what you said to David, wait for the, you hear the sound of the troops in the balsam trees. That sounds crazy. But there was something of God in it that when he went out, God made the sound of the trees sound like the feet of troops marching. And it was like the heavenly hosts were advancing onto the battlefield. So when they went on the battlefield, yes, they fought in the natural, but there was something supernatural that enabled them to rout the Philistines for miles and miles and miles to fully defeat them. How do you develop that endurance and that perseverance? You spend time. Spend time. Go beyond that default moment. We haven't got time to just carry on, but maybe next Sunday. You know, last week the PA wasn't working properly and when the guys worked out what it was a ridiculous little thing. It was something within the desk. It's a digital desk that shouldn't be able to happen, but it did. And it's interesting. I think God wants our attention. Yes. Yes. So probably next week even, we're not going to have a band rocking out and everybody's just, yeah, great, lovely. I think God wants to do something amongst us. And this is probably why maybe even now we haven't got time to do everything because God wants, there's something God's got us in at the moment. Because if there's going to be a shift in your life, in my life, and our life together, we have to position ourselves differently. So even next week, when we come, I'm not here, I'm in Cairo from Wednesday to Sunday at something, leaders meeting from all over, many nations, prophetic apostolic leaders meeting to pray, to seek the Lord, and all of that for 4.5 days. So you could pray for me there. I've been asked to do some stuff in that. Some of that is for me, I'm having to shift into different contexts. And some of the things that God has said to me and Jane, when we're in different contexts, that we need to say about some things, just from the word, that we're having to shift into another position to say some things that need to be said about what God is doing, about Israel, the Jewish people, and from Scripture, from the Word, to deal with some of the replacement theology that's going on in the church, and fulfillment theology, which is basically the same thing. God's finished with the Jews, and now the church has replaced Israel as God's chosen people. All of that rubbish that's not in the Bible. And we're having to position ourselves. God's getting us in situations where I have to say things, do things, speak, where I'm like, wow, these are people that are like everybody knows all over the world. And you can be quite intimidated by some of these people. But God is saying, no, there's a sound and a voice that you have as kingdom faith. And it's time to hit that, whatever scenario, some of that. So I'm having to shift. I'm having to do stuff. And if I'm doing that, you're going to have to do it too in your life and whatever that means. Because this is a body thing, not just an individual thing. And so next week, maybe, we're not going to have, I'll just decide now, we're not going to have a worship team next week, as in everybody up there. We're going to come and we are just going to worship Jesus. And we're going to keep going and keep going, right? Amen. These guys will lead it in some way in terms of just encouraging. But you see, one of the things we do is we default really easily. Yeah. Yes. Okay? If we had the band up, right, if we would all default. We would do what we normally do when the band's up. Some people are. And they don't care whether there's a band up there or not. Do you know what I mean? But we all default. Sometimes if we start singing in the spirit, we'd probably last for a minute or two and then it will start going quiet. Why? Because we default. Oh, I'd rather do this. But you see, if you keep going, something starts to happen in here. Something starts to happen in here. Something, and there's a breakout of God. There's a breakout of God. There's a breakout of God that God wants to have, so that you can't stop. And yes, it does get louder and louder. Not because you're suddenly going, trying to make, but it's just rising, rising, rising. You find it's like, oh God, and you're worshiping, you're singing in tongues, you're singing in English. You keep flowing and flowing. But why? Because there's a breaking through, there's a breaking out of God. What does that do? That affects your spirit capacity, your spiritual strength and well-being and maturity. Are you there? We haven't got. If you haven't come to DNA, you need to come to DNA, right? Next time in the new year. Because we want to help everybody grow. There will be breakthroughs and a breaking out of God in a fresh way as a body. Amen? Amen. Let me just pray. Father, thank you that this isn't just going to church on a Sunday to a meeting. Was it good or wasn't it? How did it go or didn't it? Father, you've got us in a flow of something at the moment. And you want to move and there to be a breaking out of who you are in a fresh way. He is breaking out, right? But there's God wants the lid to be totally off and all the walls completely down. I had this is a little while ago when I was praying one day. I think I've shared this, but it was a while ago. I was praying and I was looking down on this building. And as I was looking down at the building, the roof was lifted off. It wasn't just gently lifted off. It was like, you know, when a hurricane comes, it sucks things off. It was like the roof was sucked off like that. And as the roof was sucked off, everybody was in here worshiping. As the roof was sucked off, then suddenly the walls just were flattened like that. And everybody started to just to move out like that. And I saw loads of rivers, but there weren't rivers that people were swimming in. We were the rivers. So there were rivers going out all over. They went into Horsham, into the region, into the nation and beyond, into the nations. Rivers went out and it was like us as people. It was like the peoples went out. Why? Because there was a breaking out of God. There was a breaking out of who He is. So we're not holding God in. We're not saying, I'll do a little bit of doing it. It's like abandoning ourselves to God, saying, I don't care what anybody else thinks around me. I want there to be a breaking through and a breaking out of God in me. So I'm going to sing with all I have because I don't want God to be shut up within my bones. I want there to be a release of God in a greater way. Amen. So let's just shout to Him for a minute. Let's just lift our voices. Give Him a shout of praise. Give Him a shout of adoration. Just praise Him for a few moments. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise Your name. Praise Your name. Praise Your name. Father, I thank You that You are Baal Perazim. You're the one who breaks out amongst us. Father, I thank You this week when the men come and pray. Thank You, there's a breaking out of who You are. Father, I thank You next Sunday when we gather, there's a breaking out of who we are, who You are. Because together we exalt You, we magnify You, and boom, there's a release. You know, when God breaks out because He's breaking out in us, some of you are going to have miracles that you've been needing for a while. Some of you are going to have you're going to get healed. Stuff's going to get sorted. Why? Because God is breaking out. Amen. Amen. Thank You, Jesus. Yeah, Father, we just pray for this time in Cairo. These 150, 180 leaders from around the world and from the Middle East that are all gathering together. Thank You. Just lead that by Your Spirit and all that You want to do, building relationships and friendships, one new man and everything else that You're going to do in that time. Thank You for Your wisdom and all that's going to come from that, because we know it's not just a few people in a room somewhere. It's what happens as a result and the instructions that You give, the orders that You give, the commands that You give that then need to be outworked. We thank You, Jesus, for all that You're going to do in your mighty name. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. If you haven't got your kids yet, please could you go and grab your kids or grab them or pick them up. That's a nicer phrase, isn't it? Go and pick them up. And thank the children's workers for blessing your kids this morning when you go up there. Okay? So just keep pressing in there with God. Blokes, Wednesday night, it's going to be awesome. Have a great week. Bless you.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.